Yeah.
No problem at all. So just thanks, Paul. A bit more introduction about me. Yes, I did this course in 2009, so that was the first year it ever ran.
It was the first year.
Before that, I did 12 years as a broadcast journalist in commercial radio. So I worked here in the West Midlands for various radio stations, started doing that in sort of 2000, just slightly before. And I was doing news, so writing news, doing documentaries, presenting as well on various radio stations. Left there properly, left my main job there in 2009, came to university here to retrain, because I thought online, that's where the skills are needed. And it was the 2 weeks of data journalism as part of this, as part of the online journalism MA course that I was absolutely dreading, because I was really bad at maths at school. I was dreading the spreadsheets, I was dreading having to just sit and crunch numbers, and I was hoping just to get through it and then go back to playing with audio and video. And doing all the fun stuff with social media and blogs. But actually really took to it and really liked the idea of representing numbers in a visual way, because so many people are like me, really bad at maths and don't respond well to statistics. So I really liked this idea of turning numbers into something visual. So when I left university, I started to get more and more work doing infographics, because obviously infographics are the big thing right now. So I have lots of people approaching me saying they have information they want to present in some way, whether it's an annual report, whether it's some end-of-year statistics, whether it's and some research they've done or some surveys. And I talk to them and find out whether they want it to be for their website, for print, for a magazine. So we have all these different clients and all these different projects I work on. What I wanted to talk through today is three kind of different things I've been working on recently, which use different tools in a different thought process. And I thought it might be quite helpful to see the thinking of how we turn big piles of data into something visual. So any questions, feel free to shout out as we go through. If I'm talking too quickly, which I do, I know that, tell me to slow down, and I will. Feel free to follow me on Twitter, by the way, if you're sure you're on Twitter by now. That's my website as well. I'll put this slide up at the end as well. So feel free to follow and say hello. Oh, that didn't work, did it? Okay, so the three projects I want to talk about today are the MyRoots project. It's the CAF project as well, the Collaborative Arts Triple Helix, which is a horrible name, and the work I did for the Sunday Mirror, as Paul mentioned. So the MyRoot project, first of all, it's an arts heritage project. So it's funded by various different organisations. And it's essentially plotting the history of Birmingham from the 1940s to today. But we're just focusing on one particular stretch of road in Birmingham, a road called the Stratford Road. Do any of you know the Stratford Road in Birmingham? Just while I have a map there to show you. So this is the Stratford Road, all the way down here. So it basically goes, if you ever drive to Solihull from Birmingham, you'd probably go along the Stratford Road. And the reason that this project chose to focus on that particular stretch of road is because it's a really good cross-section of immigration in the city. Because what tends to happen is that new people turn up in the city and they move into the kind of the inner area of any city. And then as they get more prosperous, as they stay here longer, they'll tend to move out into the suburbs. So this road is a really good cross-section of how people progress through their lives. But also because there's been a very high turnover of different cultures. So it's a really interesting area because you've had people from China, people from... there were lots of Irish immigrants back in the 1940s and 1950s, people from Somalia, all over the place. People tend to come into these areas and then move out over time. So this project aims to capture how the road's changed by using data. And they asked me, sorry, Paul. they asked me if I could help them create a touch table. Now, you've probably seen these in museums. It kind of looks like a foosball table, but it's like a digital, it's like a big iPad that you can use and you can show data, people can interact with it. So, and they really wanted to create an interesting project showing the history of the road over time to create something like that. So the first thing we did was try and find data, and they had nothing. They just knew that they wanted to plot the road, and there were initial ideas to plot it by surname. So what we wanted to do was find everybody who lived on the Stratford Road, and look for the different patterns in changing surnames, so the different nationalities coming in. But we really couldn't find the data that went back to the 1940s of everybody's surname. So in the end, we decided to look at businesses, because very often, with an area like this, you'll get people opening cafes, shops, advice centres, all these different organisations and businesses open up that represent the people that live there. So we decided to start mapping the businesses along the road. Now, obviously going back to the 1940s, there aren't any digital directories, there isn't a website, you can't go onto yale.com and type in who was on the Stratford Road in the 1940s. So we had to go old school, we had to go to the library. And they have these books in the library called Kelly's Directories, and essentially it's like the phone book. But back in the 1940s and way before that, they didn't organise the phone book or the yellow pages by industry. So obviously now, if you need to find a plumber and you were going to use a book, the book directory, you'd look for plumbers and you'd find one that was near you. Back in the old days, they did it by street. So this book was actually a really good resource, because what we've got is tons and tons of these books in the library, and it lists the Stratford Road by address. So what we have is a list of who was on the road every year since 1940, or in fact way before that, 1898 is the first one. So we've got this big physical book listed exactly of who's on the right-hand side and who's on the left-hand side of the road. So that's good, because it means you don't have to go through books and try and find out who was where. It means we have this really good resource. The problem is, obviously, this is in a book, and we need to turn this into a database. So this is where we found lots of really willing volunteers who spent days in the library with these big books filling out a spreadsheet of who was where. Now, we decided we weren't going to plot every single year, because that would take forever. So we decided to do every 10 years. So 1944, 1954, 1964, 1974, etc., etc., etc. Now, the problem is that these books stopped in 1974. So at least we've got 4 years' worth of data that we can use. So the Kelly's Directories are really useful. And this is the spreadsheet that we started to create. What I wanted to do was give... So each colour is a different decade. Because I really wanted to make sure that we didn't miss anything. So you can see that in 1944, that was the Victoria Inn. And it was in 1954, and 1964, and 1974. So we can see that pub has been there for at least 40 years. So that's an interesting story to tell, that that's a really old pub and it's been there for a very long time. So we can start to see these patterns forming up. And this spreadsheet, there's more columns here as we go on and on and on. So this enormous, enormous spreadsheet. And actually yesterday, I turned that spreadsheet into a long, thin document. So let me quickly show you the master document. This is 13,000 rows long, and the reason I've generated it like this is because to make the touch table itself, it needs to be cut like a database to then feed into the software for the touch table. So we have this spreadsheet. So you can see here, we've got the decade here, we've got the property number here, so we've got 34A, 33 or 48B. I've also given each one a key. If you're ever working with spreadsheets, I always put a key on things, so give everything a unique number, because if for some reason things get out of order, you can sort them back into the right order again. So we've got this huge spreadsheet which just goes on and on and on and on. Because it's basically, there's the 1940s, we go down, we get the 1950s, etc., etc., etc. So we have this huge spreadsheet now that we're going to have to basically pass on to developers to create this touch table. So that's the first process, but the next stage was to work out actually how to represent that data on the table itself, because we've got all these numbers here. How do we turn it into something that people can interact with, that people can actually navigate on this touch table? So I went through a very long-winded, insane at times process, because there were different ways to show the map on the touch table. And the simple idea would have been to show it in a long, thin road like that. So we've got, say this is the Stratford Road itself. We'd have the data on either side of it. But we also need to show how it changes over the decades. So I start to think, how would you have shown that data? How would you have shown how a road changes over time, how the business changes over time? So how it goes from maybe a cinema in the 1940s to a pub in the 1950s to something else in the 1960s. We need to show this. So this is one way that I thought we have the road down the middle and the data left on the right-hand side of the road and the left-hand side of the road, so as if you're walking down it. But this stretch of road is really long. There's 1,400 addresses. So that's a lot of data to try and cram into this road. So I did some various other layouts. That one got a bit crazy. Trying to fit the roads, and all the properties started falling over. But again, even that, there's too many properties, too much information to fit onto the map itself to try and make it usable. So this is the one we settled on in the end. It was the best. It was an interesting kind of an artistic approach to the road. But we've got Solihull end of the road here, and then the Birmingham end of the road up there. We've got the turns off the road here and here and here, and each of these little properties would represent a different business on the road. And then the idea is that users would come up to the touch table. And these lenses would appear on the table itself, and the user could move these around with their fingers and see, that's 1940s. They could see what the road looked like in the 1940s. So that's 2000s. So again, these would move around the table and show in the lens itself what the road looked like. Does that make sense?
Did you specifically want the whole industry in one display?
We specifically wanted the whole of the road on one display, but we needed people to be able to access the different decades. So multiple people can use this at any one time. So you could have, say, six people using this touch table. So one person's down here looking at this bit, someone else is over there looking at that bit of road. As I say, these lenses move. So if somebody wanted to look at the 1950s, but here, they could drag that lens to that table. Does that make sense? Does that answer
your question? So how big the display will be?
This is probably about the size of, probably from here to the Coke bottle.
Okay.
It's big. And the idea is that six people would stand around it and have their own bit that they look at, their own little bit of road. So, this has been about a year and a half in the making. It's been a really big process. But the idea is that people could, as I say, delve into the different bits of road. And then if they, say for example, that one there, that's an interesting property, we've got it coloured in a different way. So they could click on that, and a box would come up with photographs, information, who owned it, what kind of shop it was, all that kind of stuff. Now, initially the plan was to put all of the data onto the touch table itself, but we realised that was going to be quite a long-winded process, because a lot of this is, even though there's a database behind it pulling in the data to create the information, there's a lot of work designing each of the icons and the maps and all that kind of thing. So we decided to just, for the touch table itself, to have just curated information, so the best bits. So any interesting stories. So we picked out things like cinemas, pubs, any shops of cultural relevance. So if there was a particular, there was a Somalian cafe that opened in 1984. So that goes on there because we've got information about that. So I sat down with the guys from SAMPAD, who were the arts organisation behind it, to work out where this information is going to go on the map, to make sure we have enough information so that somebody scrolling around will always find something. So we, for the last couple of weeks, we lost our minds slightly doing this. I printed out 8 versions of the map. We then got the spreadsheet and decided which content was interesting enough to go onto the touch table itself, so the cinemas, the pubs, all the interesting things. And then basically put a little post-it note where that was on the map. So each of these little post-it notes is a business or is an organisation that is of interest. Because we wanted to see that we had a nice even spread across each of the decades. So say this is the 1940s, that's the 1950s, 1960s, etc., etc. Because I find that doing something physical like that, you can then move things around, you can see, well, actually, 2010's looking a little bit empty. So is there anything from 2004 we could move forward that's also relevant? Just to make sure we've got the information all spread out. Big fan of post-it notes. I use them for everything. So that's my first tool, is post-it notes. So we're at that stage now, actually. My next stage is to actually digitise that. So I've now got to sit down with a digital version of the map and put points on. So say, that's the pub, that's there, that's there, that's there. And I think we've got about 40 for every decade. So my next week, that's what I'm going to be doing. You're sitting there with on a computer just clicking, finding where the points are with my big spreadsheet. But it's an interesting project, and if you want, I think the website is, you can keep up to date with it at, where is it? myroute.org.uk. I think it finishes in April, so we'll hopefully have it done by then. Hopefully. So that's kind of, this process has been largely about post-it notes, lots of post-it notes, and spreadsheets. And there's kind of a first draft. So maybe I was a bit over, I think the table is maybe a touch smaller. But that's kind of how it looks on the last draft. And you can see how each of these different lenses, these sort of float around the screen and you can move them and you can see beneath it. Looks really small there, but it's bigger than that. So that's my route.